Gonna need a minute. Happy Easter, everyone. Hey, while we're still standing, we do a little tradition here at Discovery on Easter Sunday, and this is actually not like our thing. This is a thing that Jesus followers have been doing for the last 2,000 years all around the world. They're doing this morning, in fact, all around the world in different contexts and even in different languages as we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus. But it goes like this. I'm going to say he is risen, and then you're going to say back, he is risen indeed. We will do it three times, and we will do it with gusto. All right? So he is risen.
He is risen indeed.
He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Very good. Very good. All right. Thank you, worship team. You guys can have a seat. And if you brought a Bible with you this morning, you can meet me in Luke chapter 24. It'll be on the screen as well if you want to follow along there. And what we're going to do this morning is we're going to look at the first part of this chapter, which tells the resurrection story, and then some of the events that happen after that. We're going to look at the first part of the chapter and then the very end of the chapter, and then we'll tie it all together here as we make our way through this conversation this morning, leading up to the communion table and to baptism. So Luke 24, beginning in verse 1, on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared, and they went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground, but the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead?" And then here it comes again, friends. He is not here. He has risen. Let me hear it one more time. Very good. He has risen. Then skip down to verse 46. Jesus told them. He told them. Them are his disciples, some of his closest followers. He told them, "This is what is written. The Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. I am going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in this city until you have been clothed with power from on high." When he had led them out to the vicinity of Bethany, he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And while he was blessing them, he left them and was taken up into heaven. Then they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. And they stayed continually at the temple praising God. Would you pray with me? Father, Son, and Spirit, thank you for this day, the truth that we celebrate as we gather here this morning. The truth of Jesus, his life, his death on the cross on that Good Friday, and his resurrection from the dead on that first Easter Sunday. This is the story at the heart of our universe. And so, God, I ask today that you would take this story, that you would make it new and fresh for us, that you would reveal to us this morning, maybe for the first time, what good news this story really is for us. Maybe for others of us, we need to hear it again. We need to hear it anew. And so, God, would you speak to us today? And as we hear, as we absorb the reality of what you have done on our behalf, would you give us courage, God, to take the next step, whatever it might be, to put into practice the things that we hear this morning. We pray this together in the powerful name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen. All right, let's begin here. A couple of weeks ago, a guy named Brian Johnson, a venture capitalist, kind of tech bro dude, tweeted this. Dear humanity, I am building a religion. Wait a second, I know what you're going to say. Hold that knee-jerk reaction and let me explain. First, here is what's going to happen. Don't die, and this is like this is the name of the movement that he's trying to start, Don't Die. Don't Die becomes history's fastest growing ideology. It saves the human race, and it ushers in an existence more spectacular than we can imagine. It is inevitable. The only question is, will you be an early or a late adopter? Sounds pretty interesting, right? Now, Brian Johnson, if you're familiar with him, he's considered to be the world's healthiest human being. And his whole thing, this Don't Die movement, is about trying to live forever. The organization is relatively new. That tweet is fairly recent. But this idea, it's been growing for a while. It's an idea that actually lies behind and animates a lot of the energy in our world right now. Energy behind artificial intelligence and the remaking of governments and economies. There is, as he says in that tweet, an ideology behind all of this. And core to that ideology is the belief that through technology, we will hack death. Brian Johnson, again, the healthiest person in the world. His quest for immortality is documented on Netflix if you need something to watch tonight. I guess you can check that out. You can also buy his anti-aging products online for quite a large sum of money. It may sound sort of new and cutting edge, but there's actually a very ancient impulse at work here. If you go back in the story of Scripture, in the story of humanity, all the way back to the book of Genesis, the first book in the Bible. In Genesis 1 through 11, you encounter what Bible scholars call prehistory. This is the explanation of our origins, how we got here, who we are, all of these big questions about where we come from. Now, the final story of the prehistory is about the invention of a new technology. People have learned how to make bricks. Bricks are these superior building materials. It's a shift from round and inconsistent rocks to these uniform blocks. This is a movement that changes the world. If you've ever, if you've been a kid or if you know kids will tell you, Legos are vastly superior to marbles when it comes to building stuff. This changes human history, of course. The first thing that humans do with this new technology is ask the question, how high can we go? How far can we take this? This story is kind of famously called the Tower of Babel. If you're familiar with it, the Tower of Babel may conjure up some images for you of a skyscraper. But if you look at ancient architecture, almost always the biggest buildings were religious structures or temples. Temples designed to get us closer to God. Now, Christians believe that God created the world and called it good. This is, we're still now for a moment here in Genesis 1. The goodness of creation was termed shalom by the writers of the Old Testament. This is how we were meant to live, in right relationship with God and with each other and the rest of creation. But God, being relational to the core, God gives us an option. We can either reject or accept shalom. We can accept or reject this relationship. And in Genesis chapter 3, we see that humanity rejects the relationship. All right, this is called sin, the broken relationship between us and God, between each other. And so then, throughout history, human beings have sought to overcome this problem, the problem of sin and separation from God by going up. We seek to hack the separation between us using our technology and our tools. Sometimes this looks like building towers with bricks, and sometimes this looks like using our biodata and artificial intelligence to live forever. Sometimes it looks like trying really hard to be a good person. Sometimes it looks like working hard to achieve really great things. It is an ancient impulse. It takes many forms, but it's all the same. It's about how do we go up. Now, back to the Easter story. Jesus is crucified on a cross. He ends up there by this kind of interesting combination of the powers of his day, this mix of religious authority and the machinery of the Roman Empire, which, by the way, Jesus predicted would happen multiple times. Sure enough, his story appears to come to an end there as his friends peel his body off the cross, bury him in a tomb, and regroup to try to figure out, what do we do next? A couple things we need to talk about here. The first thing we need to talk about is the truth that Jesus dies. Jesus dies because Jesus was a human being. A real person who had a physical body, who grew up in a place in Galilee, this backwoods region of Palestine. He learned stuff, he worked a job, and then at the age of 30, he took on the role of rabbi and began to call disciples and followers. One of the foundational Christian beliefs is that Jesus was fully human. Fully human. Luke, in his telling of the Jesus story, particularly the resurrection portion of the Jesus story, he drives this point home in a couple of ways, almost humorous ways. We see in Luke chapter 24, the resurrected Jesus eating food. He eats a fish. We also see him proclaiming to his friends, it's actually me, I'm not a ghost. Like, you can touch my hands and you can see my wounds. It is me, the resurrected Jesus, a real human being. But another foundational Christian belief is that Jesus was fully God. This is a mystery. Fully God and fully human. People have named this the incarnation, God in the flesh. And so, at the heart of the Christian story is the God who comes down to us as a human being. And quick side note, back to Genesis 11 for just one final moment. In that story, as people are building this tower up, up, up into heaven, it actually says that God comes down to see what they're doing. Just a little bit of foreshadowing there. This is one of the truths that separates the Jesus story from every other big story. We don't go up to God. We cannot build our way up or work our way up to God. God comes down to us. The problem of sin and separation from God is not solved by building up. It is solved by the gift of the God who comes down to us. But wait, there's even more. There's even more. The first thing we need to talk about is that Jesus dies. The second thing we need to talk about is that Jesus doesn't stay dead. His friends go to the tomb to take care of his body, but his body is gone. The angel utters that unforgettable line, right? He is not here, he is risen. Jesus goes down into death and then rises up to new life. Jesus comes down to us on earth, but then ascends, rises up back to heaven. Now, this is a part of the story that we don't talk about, I think, all too often. It's called the ascension, Jesus' return to heaven. I think it It can be difficult to talk about because it raises all sorts of questions for us, like where is heaven and are there multiple dimensions? And then also, why didn't he stay? Would it have been better if Jesus just stuck around for the rest of time? Those are really good questions. But for today, I want us to simply notice that in Jesus, we see God come down. And then we see God go back up. The Jesus story is the story of the God who comes down and goes up for us. Every other story is about how we do this for ourselves. But this story says God does it for us. God does it for us. We don't have to hack death or take a bunch of weird pills to try to live forever. We don't have to build a tower. We don't have to figure out how to get to God because God comes down to us. And God brings us up with him. Jesus made no secret of this truth. He said, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will save it. What good is it for someone to gain the whole world and yet lose or forfeit their very self?" We don't enter eternal life, the abundant life, by avoiding death. We enter eternal life by embracing death, by identifying with the cross. We have been crucified with Christ. Jesus' followers are those who have died, who have gone down only to be resurrected, brought back up by the power of Christ in us. And this is why, friends, this is why baptism is so beautiful and so powerful. The baptism event that we are about to witness, the water in that tank, it's not magical. But it is this sacrament, it is this sign that tells the story of the God who goes down and the God who comes back up for us. We identify with Jesus going down into his death. We are raised up to new life, new life. The radical belief of the Christian is that through Jesus, fully God, fully human, God in the flesh, we can live abundantly now and into eternity. Eternal life is available to each and every one of us. We simply must receive it. God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. God raises us up with Christ. Friends, the good news, the gospel, is that in the person of Jesus, God saves us. God saves us from trying to achieve moral perfection. God saves us from endless searching for immortality. God saves us from isolation and our separation from him. God saves us from ourselves by coming down and going up for us. Down to earth, down into death, but also up. Up from the grave, ascended to heaven. His going down and coming up on our behalf transforms our world, heals our brokenness, saves us from our sin and our separation from God. And so the question for us this morning is very simple. Have you been trying to do this on your own? Have you been trying to do this on your own? Make your way up to God. Building your tower. What I would say for you this morning is simply receive the good news. The good news of the God who goes down and who comes up for us. The God who comes to us in the person of Jesus and wants to be with us. Now, as the band comes back to lead us in worship and into the communion moment, I want to say a couple of things, just sort of instructions for the remaining time that we have in our gathering. And then I want to invite us to the communion table as we prepare for baptism. First thing we're going to do again is sing another song, and we're going to come to the communion table, this meal that represents the truth that we've just talked about, the going down and the coming up of God on our behalf, represented for us in the person of Jesus. What he has done for us, his body broken, his blood poured out. We remember and we celebrate this every time we gather, but especially this morning on Easter Sunday. After you've taken communion, you can. I want you to feel free to move around the theater if you feel like you want a better view of the baptismal. If you want to take pictures of people as they go down and celebrate with them, by all means, feel free to move around and do that. The other thing that I would say is this: if you've never been to a baptism event at Discovery, this is one of our favorite things that we get to do, and the way that we do it here is we continue to sing and worship while the baptism is happening. And the invitation to you is to kind of cut loose, right? To yell and scream and clap and celebrate in all kinds of ways, whatever you feel comfortable doing, because this is a joyful, celebratory moment, right? As our friends go down, identify with Jesus in his death, and come back up, new creations, because of what Jesus has done on our behalf. So let me pray, and then as we sing this next song, feel free to come to the table and take the communion elements, and then we'll get ready to celebrate baptisms together. Father God, thank you again for the truth of Easter, that in the person of Jesus, Jesus, fully God and yet fully human, you have come down to us. We do not have to work our way up to you. But you come down to us to be with us, to identify with us, to live with us, to teach us about your kingdom, to show us what right relationship with you looks like, and ultimately to give yourself, to give your life for us. God, thank you for this truth. Thank you for your love and your grace that you have poured out on us. God, now we come to the table and we come to the sacrament of baptism with hearts full of hope and joy and celebration. We're grateful for what you have done in the lives of Elijah and Chuck. And the privilege it is to share this moment with them this morning. May we... as we go out from here and hang out together and drink coffee and eat snacks, God, may we continue to celebrate the good news that we have in the resurrected Jesus. We pray this in his name. Amen.